afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. And after that disclaimer, you never know what you'll get.
No.
Anything
exactly.
is fair.
It's just entertainment.
It's just entertainment.
That's right.
And by the way, we've never met these people. We have no idea who they are, and they broke into the studio. Oh, they forgot to put that on. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
You can go to wethepeopleradio.us. You can go to .net, .org, .biz. You can go to everything with .com, actually. So it's pretty wide open.
Yeah.
And the archives for all of our shows back to 2010 are on there. So you can listen whenever you want. So if you're not around on Sundays, you know, I can't listen. I'm not home on Sunday. Well, don't listen to it on Sunday. Listen to it on a different day.
Yeah. Commercial free.
Thousands of people around the world, oddly enough. who would have thought? Kind of makes me laugh.
You still have a big Ukrainian following?
Yes. And the Netherlands is coming up. A quick second on them.
Really?
Yep. Netherlands. Ever since we started doing a bunch of shows on South Africa, and excuse me, but how ahead of the curve were we?
That's right.
So if you are listening to all this media stupidity, especially if you're listening to CNN stupidity on South Africa, I would really encourage you to go back through our archives. So that's at wethepeopleradio.us and listen to the shows we've done on South Africa. There's a lot of information on the pages for each show. So it isn't just listening. If you'd rather just read the stuff and not listen, I don't know why you wouldn't listen. The music's usually pretty fun. you know, if you don't want to listen, if you're, you know, a listening hater, read the information. At least you can get educated. Because I got to tell you, our media is doing a really bad job of it.
Yeah, nothing going on down there. You
especially
need to know about.
On South Africa and lots of other things.
Exactly.
And thanks to Ken, Karen, Lynn, all the individual people who sponsor the show, and some of them who have for years. God love you. And a great way to do that on the website. I mean, you know, they sound like the. They sound like the DNC with their emails they send out. Chip in $3, you know, or trying to get somebody elected to the governorship.
Just
$3, we'll do it. But honestly, it is kind of a the war of tiny amounts, which is very helpful. So thanks to all of you who do that already. And if you have suggestions for topics, if you've read a really great book and you'd like to hear from the author, or you know, you see somebody on TV or hear them on the radio and they only get 2 minutes and you think they need more than 2 minutes, shoot us an email or a phone call. Our email and emails and phone numbers are right there on the website.
And pretty much any topic, you know, as long as it's something that you think folks would be interested in.
Yeah. I mean, if you want us to interview
the
girl with the buggy eyes in New York, probably going to pass on that.
Yeah.
Be a short interview. Yeah. Just because I'm not sure I could follow her line of logic. But
get to the nice thing is somebody else would pay for it if we interviewed her, though.
We're not sponsoring it. That's just stupid. So today we're going to talk about something that I know that we had posted, and I'm not sure if we actually did a show on it, but it was last August. And honestly, I kind of forgot about it, so I'm assuming everybody else did too. But thank goodness for Dr. Lyle Rapacki, who pays attention and, you know, keeps us on the straight and narrow. And then after you hear us all three together, you'll be like, none of these people are on the straight and narrow, but okay.
Yeah.
It's a story we like to tell. Dr. Rapacki is a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. How's that?
That's a mouthful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I actually...
And there's not many of them left.
They've all switched sides. They're all busy lurking together
That's
and sending
right.
each other nasty text messages. Since June of 2010, Dr. Rapacki has provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. He also receives, analyzes, and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement, intelligence, and governmental communities. He's the author of a dozen white papers, bulletins, and briefings, many of which have received distribution to and by local, state, and federal enforcement, intelligence, and public safety agencies nationwide. So sometimes he's on with Claire Lopez. Sometimes he's on with our friend Bruce Moran. But today it's just Lyle.
Yeah. Going to help us make sense of the madness.
We shanghaied Lyle on Labor Day.
Yeah.
How smart was that?
No. And we're going to learn about what and why this madness is going on in the media and make sense of
it. And how they're trying to bury the president. I mean, anybody who thinks this stuff's all happening randomly, I think by the end of the program today, you'll have changed your mind. So
it's on purpose.
Lyle, are you in there? You're awfully quiet if you are in there. Did we have you in the cone of silence?
It's Now it's just been taken off. I see. It says now Lyle can talk. Well, a couple of things. First of all, this show is just for entertainment. That's what it says.
So that's right.
There's really nothing I need to say that's informative or enlightening. It's just entertainment.
That's right.
One thing.
It's all just entertainment.
It's all. It's
sit
just
back and relax. There's nothing to see here. It's just entertainment.
Secondly, it's so great to be with Bill and you again.
And you again.
Next time, you, could you call me maybe, an hour or so before the show instead of calling me 15 minutes before the show and going, hey, our more preferred guests couldn't show up, so what do you do?
Hey, Lyle, everybody's busy.
I appreciate being on standby. I do, and I'm honored, but I just really think that you can give me at least an hour.
I told her not to do that. That is just not right.
Bill, I know you did. Thank you for having my back.
Oh, sure, no problem,
Lyle. Yeah, Bill completely knocks himself out to book guests for the show. Oh, wait, never. And he works so hard on the website.
Aaron calls and says, well, what are you doing Sunday morning? I don't know what. Why? Well, all of our other plans or Tier 8 guests couldn't make it because they're going away. They actually have some time to relax, and we know you don't do anything. So, I go, well, you know something? I can break away from the Walmart with the other specialists because we all hang out together down there.
All you threat assessment people, actually, you should be hanging out at Walmart, all joking aside, because they found, like, the bulk of the stolen vehicles and the crime are happening in the Walmart parking lot here. And so it's probably everywhere else, too.
They give us a little Subway sandwich and some coffee, and that's our pay, and we're happy. Threat assessment and behavioral analysis people, we're pretty easy.
That's right. Think how bad it would be if you weren't there.
It's all about the blue vest.
They just throw us some food, and we're good. You know, we'll dance for peanuts. So I'll come on your radio show because all of your A guests couldn't make it.
Yeah, well, say what you will, but you haven't lived until you've had a Walmart corn dog. I'll tell you what, that's living large right there.
And I don't think Claire will ever show up on the radio again with me after the last couple of times we did this, and I don't know, I kind of made fun of her.
We had to give her a hard time because she always has to go. What's up with that? Like, we plan it out, we get it all planned out, and then bam, she's got to go. It's like, no, not going.
Got to go. Bye-bye.
Not going. Brutal.
No, actually, Claire and I did for those of you not knowing who we're talking about, excuse me, I got so choked up.
Oh, them, those people.
Claire Lopez, a former CIA operator, not for the phone, not the 911 phone call.
No, that was my job.
Yes, it was, Bill, and you did very well, by the way.
When they got rid of all those wires, they got rid of me.
Is this the party to whom I'm speaking?
Oh, man, I'm choking to death over here.
You don't even have any fires. What are you choking over?
Excuse me.
That is fun.
This will be good on playback for all the people down in the Netherlands who are listening.
They're like, get rid of that guy from Arizona. He's coughing the whole time.
Oh, my gosh.
See, we don't cough anymore because our lungs are so full of smoke, we can't afford to expel that much air all at one time.
Oh, my gosh. I swallowed wrong. I'm laughing at you guys listening. And then, let me get serious.
And then don't get serious yet. Let's take a quick break.
Yeah, we're going to have to reboot. I think we we're going to have to start over.
We're going to have to make some phone calls.
That first segment was very productive. Thanks for coming on, Lyle.
Oh, very entertaining, I hope.
Dr. Lyle Rapacki is incredibly talented. He'll be back doing his regular shtick right after this break. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll be right back.
good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go, what shall we? Won't you take me to Funky Town? Won't you take me to Funky Town? Won't you take me to Funky Town? Won't you take me to Funky Town?
You're Funky Town.
Who would know?
Yeah.
You know, I did this at midnight last night, and I don't know, Funky Town just seemed funny. But in light of the last segment, it seems even funnier.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, Lyle, Lyle, Lyle. Hey, remember we talked about doing a show about nothing?
Well, we're off to a great start.
That's exactly what I was telling Bill. I'm like, oh, we should never have discussed that. That was a mistake.
All right. I'm serious. I'm a professional.
We're no longer in Funky Town.
I love that song. That was great. I was dancing.
I'm like, I was dancing.
It's just Bill, you, and me on it right now. Is everybody else is hung up now? They're going,
oh, man. What else is on?
Everybody's like, thank God this is radio. People are like, you should do a podcast. I'm like, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Oh, there's got to be a cooking show on or something. I can listen to.
Or better yet, golf. You're probably not allowed to cap on golf in Arizona, though. That's probably...
Yeah,
like
that's sacrilegious
law.
Right there. You back
thou
away
shalt not, thou shalt not disc golf.
All right. A news update. I know a lot of people, or many people, maybe at least five, six people, were very upset over what happened in Mexico just a couple of weeks ago when they found that Islamic Center, that the...
training the children.
Compound. And then they made the arrest and they released, they captured 11 young boys and girls, and they were able to take them out. And then they went to court and the five adults were released. And people just freaked out all over the place, myself included. But there was a, an administrative snafu that they couldn't prosecute at that time. And you know something? I would rather they let them loose in the name of constitutional rules of law than to go ahead and prosecute them as heinous as they are and what they did. Now, the good news here is even though they released them, and I do believe they should have because there was misfilings and improper procedures by the district attorney and all that, the federal government came back through the U.S. District Court in New Mexico and arrested the five adults on weapons violations and being illegally in the country here and unlawfully in possession of firearms, ammunition, and things of that. And then they added...
And that included the three they released?
Child abuse charges and things like that. So I just a little bit of an update because I've had a number of emails from people going, well,
yeah, how did this happen?
Yeah.
So they went in and rearrested them after they released them?
They released them, Bill, and again, rightly so. There were. It'd be like if you were that one time that you know you got arrested. I know we're not to talk about this, but the one time you got arrested for jaywalking.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah.
Codename jaywalking. Yeah.
Well, we had the you were dancing Funky Town.
Yeah.
And all
yeah.
That.
I got you. Yeah. That's enough.
It was just not. It was not a pretty sight. But anyway, when they arrested you, they did not Mirandize you and give you your rights. And they began to question you and other things. And then it comes to court, and they didn't file the right paperwork and one thing after another. So, rightly so, they should have released you, and they did, as you remember.
Right.
Because I came down. Right. I came down and posted the bail for $1.85 or something.
We don't need bail anymore.
Yeah.
We're in California nothing costs money.
That's right.
Everything
in California,
is free.
There's no more bail, so I don't have to worry about that anymore.
You can show your...
Well, you guys are a progressive state, and...
Yeah.
It's going to be
right.
So
yep.
Good.
In many ways.
So you said that the federal government came back, and did they go after the... Including the three that were released, did they come back and indict them?
They indicted all five.
Okay.
The Janie, I think it is, Lavelle, or I don't know, I'm not good at names. Janie Lavelle, she's a Haitian national that was illegally in the United States. And then the other ones from Muslim countries also were here illegally, and they all had criminal charges filed in federal court for firearms and ammunition possession. And then on top of that, they added or they refiled charges on child abuse, things, child neglect, things of that nature. So they all have been rearrested after they were released. And now the proper paperwork and all that has been furnished by the U.S. District Court, the U.S. Attorney. So,
Well, is there any chance that was like maybe the original plan was to get them in federal hands rather than local state authority?
You know, that is a great question, and I don't have any answer for you.
Because yeah, when that happened, I thought, you know, that sounds kind of fishy. They either didn't file that so they could come back later and you know, maybe follow them to the beehive or maybe bring in the feds to maybe lay some heavier charges on them. It just didn't sound right, but maybe the DA did foul up.
Really, it's an insightful question, Bill, and they had already gone to, quote-unquote, the beehive, the compound, so they were already there, and they had taken possession of it, so there was no need to release them, follow mm-hmm. them back, and all that, but it's a great question, seriously. No, I think it was, I think it was a snafu locally by the district attorney's office that just, I don't know. Sometimes mistakes happen.
Let's He's going to have to spend a little extra money on his next election, I think.
Something, yeah. Somebody needs to take
if anybody can find him.
But anyway, so thanks for allowing me to make that little PSA, because a lot of people were really upset about it.
Sure.
Even so much as, okay, even if we leave the terrorism stuff off and all that, leave all that alone. Okay, never happened. We still had, conventionally, child abuse, child neglect. We had a child that died there,
sure.
Was not getting proper medical treatment. And and to show you, or to at least share the obscene of this whole thing, when that child died, it was a male child, it was because he was not receiving proper medical attention for seizure disorder. And he had a seizure and died. And one of the heads of the compound there told the other children, he's going to come back as Jesus, and he's going to tell us which schools and shopping centers to commit jihad with. And he'll tell us, and then we're to follow what he says. I'm not making this up. So,
unbelievable.
And that would make sense, because Muhammad had seizure disorder, so that's pretty pretty relevant, actually.
Yeah.
Well, and so, when I got the initial report saying that they released them because of administrative error, I'm going, okay, forget the problems with the federals, the jihadi, and inciting all of this stuff. Just child neglect. But it's all been remedied, and thankfully,
good.
Great.
Good, yeah. Yeah, they deserve everything they get. That's just a horrible story.
Everything they have coming.
But you know something? It's also stirred up a little bit of discussion, and that's not, I know, the focus today. We're talking some other things, but you remember back, I think Claire and I even discussed it. I wrote a paper on it. Don't ask me when. I have to go back and pull it out, but I'll send it to you.
Someday.
Then I think Claire and I discussed it at least a year ago on your show, if not a wee bit longer, but because we talked about the training compounds, about 23 of them around the country here. And a lot of people, at least initially, especially those in the conventional side of the aisle, thought that was conspiratorial thinking and tinfoil hat and all that. It's not. Unfortunately, we have centers like this one in New Mexico that were actually training people, in this case here, kids 11 years of age, to be jihadis and to go out and commit mayhem and all of that. So it has brought the topic back up. There is more interest, like, is this happening in other parts of the country? And I'm just praying that is a subject matter that we can bring back out And maybe if some more of your A-list people have to go to the lake or play golf and you're reaching down for the sea level, maybe Claire and I could come on one day and talk about this.
Yeah, we'll see if we can make that happen.
Claire, the vanishing guest.
Bill, I'm trusting you because right. You know,
I've proven to be.
Just call me an hour ago saying, you know, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to eat lunch. Why? What are you doing? Well, I need you on the show because all of our great people have been canceled. So, you're not doing anything.
I have this Trump playbook thing that you emailed me, and I need somebody to talk about it. Yeah. The heck, we can't talk about it. What do we know?
Well, we're going to take a break, but we want to talk about this Trump playbook again. We talked about, how long ago was that?
I don't know that we actually did it. I don't know if you just emailed it to me and then I posted it. But
I think it was a year ago because I just sent it to a couple of unnamed people. And in it, top of my note, I said, you'll notice the date on this almost a year ago, August, I think it was August 10th of last year. I sent it selectively. And I believe, out of courtesy, I sent it to Aaron and others. But mm-hmm. I don't think we ever discussed it.
Well, yeah,
this is an act. Playbook. I think it's a 49-page playbook that outlines the program that is being followed, not by just the Democrats, but by all the socialist movement people against the Trump administration. The plan was during the very early days of his presidency, meaning. You have the inauguration, and they really believed that they could implement this program and within 6 months either have him removed from office or so neutered that he would do nothing else for the next 3 years, and then in 2020 they could rectify the problem by having Trump out. So this is a playbook that they are following, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, because it's interesting to look at it now, something that was kind of brought to light a year ago, and where we are today with it, I think it'll be a real eye-opener.
Yeah.
So, all right,
yes, sir.
We'll take a break?
We'll take a really quick break, and then we'll come back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, the only guy who was available today, but you're going to like him.
That's right. Don't let that scare you off.
Don't let that worry you. Oh, my gosh. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for so long?
I
the rails way before that, let me tell you.
Lyle, I was seriously channeling today, yesterday, when I did this.
You... Okay, we're not laughing anymore. We're getting serious.
That's right.
We've already messed up 35 minutes of this big show.
Even though we just played Crazy Train?
I like the way you talk.
I'm getting emails from the Netherlands going, is this all there is?
This is the big show I've been waiting all weekend
for. That part at the beginning where I said some people don't like to listen, they only like to read? Well, for all those of you who think it might be boring, well, it's not going to be boring. It's just not.
If it's okay with you, before we get into the big kick there, how about if I lay some groundwork?
Do it.
And stop me. And you, it's your show. I'm not taking it over.
Oh, you are too. Just do it. That's what we agreed on, wasn't it?
You can take over. The moving people will be in there in about 30 minutes. I'll be putting my desk in and a few other things. So don't let that interfere with our interview here. Just still work around it.
All right, I'll stop writing the show from here on then. We won't need it.
There's no rules anyway,
mm-mm.
Bill. We're just doing
it. That's right.
If you look at most of the debates that are taking place today, it appears that Democrats are crushing Republicans, that the Republicans don't know really what to say. So you've got liberals versus conservatives, and the liberals are able to stir up a lot of emotion where the conservatives try to stay on point. Well, this is creating some angst because most Americans are under a mass hypnosis. There's so much media, so much instant attention to anything nowadays with Facebooks and all the other stuff. Plus, we're overloaded with information. So most people are really tuning out things. And what they look for and maybe respond to is the emotionality. They're stirred by the emotions. And the thought here is that by most Americans is that Democrats and Republicans basically have an unchangeable view of what's right and what's wrong. That traditionally, even though we may be talking about different things in the political arenas, that both parties, both sides are basically talking about the good of America and the constitutional form of country and morality and all that. It's just not happening. And so most Americans are tuning out when those individuals who stand up and talk from a logical, sequential standpoint begin to do such. They're not buying into it. Whereas on the other side, they've been taught to be explosive, highly emotional, highly charged, very sensitive. And therefore, it's being considered, oh, they have passion. They really care about the topic they're talking about. It doesn't matter if it's Obamacare or borders or taking care of the hungry. It doesn't matter the topic. Look at their passion. Look at all the things that they're saying and doing here that really tells us their heart's in it. Or look at these other guys. They're talking policy. They're talking programs. Well, what's really happened is that Saul Alinsky, the famous communist Marxist who Hillary Clinton and so many others have cut their teeth on, and that's proven. That's not my opinion. It's all proven. In fact, Hillary Clinton, on her dissertation, she dedicated it to Saul Alinsky when she was graduating. So you go back and look at Saul Alinsky, a very, very blunt, very candid Marxist. And what he taught his followers and what has become the dominant theme in the Democrat Party in the last probably 2 to 3 years, though it's been percolating, is that power rules. Without power, you can do nothing. Well, if you stop right there, in one sense, that makes some sense. But the Alinsky model is do whatever is necessary to gain power. And through power, you transform America, you transform our culture, you transform our principles, our values, our heritage. Power. Children that are conservatives and who have grown up in conservative families have been taught to obey tradition, to obey morality, to turn the other cheek, to be polite. On the other side of the coin, You've got people who have bought into the Alinsky model, which is you do whatever is necessary. You use every trick at your disposal because the goal here is to obtain or to seek power and then to obtain it. So you say what you have to say because the end result is I will have the power. And once I have the power and I'm in office, then I can transform America. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, boy, that sounds very familiar.
Vaguely reminiscent of a bad
a fundamental transformation.
That's correct. And what no one really asked except Joe the plumber is transform it into what? What are you transforming? I mean, I think the three of us, as conservatives, I'm assuming, we could say, yeah, there's problems in America. There's things that we would, if we were all president or king, we would do some things different. Well, I think so. But I think the three of us would say, but we would want to enhance the gift that has been given to us, the present that has been given to us through this republic, if we would keep it, as Benjamin Franklin said, is to make America, if you will, great again, because like Ronald Reagan said, and there's where Trump borrowed it, is America is to be great again. And Reagan's model was because he saw what was taking place under Jimmy Carter, which was the Alinsky model. It was Marxism. And now, after a number of years of Reagan being gone, we've had, in one form or another, either blatant Marxism or more subtle, seductive Marxism, to the point where we're on the verge of losing our Constitution and our Republic. Alinsky would say, the ends justify the means. So you do whatever you have to do to gather power, keep power, and push anyone away from the power. The traditionalists, however, believe in the traditional process that we, the people, come in and we all have a nice discussion, and we're all talking about things from a valued-centered standpoint. That is not what's taking place. It is not taking place in any stretch of the imagination. And what is occurring is the Alinsky model has now come mainstream, where these candidates in the Democrat Party, and they're now calling themselves socialist Democrats. I'm not making this up. You can.
They're really upfront about it, and that's what they call themselves.
Because I mean, I think a year ago when I, right as I think I was releasing that playbook, you know, I started to discuss this, and in a few speeches in a few places, people are like, socialist Democrat? No, no, you're talking about socialist Democrat. So I'm talking about Marxism. And I'm talking about the Democrat Party is in the process of converting into a full-blown Marxist party. So now you're going to have a conservative party and a Marxist party. And that didn't go over great a little over a year ago, although Bernie Sanders was hanging out there saying, I'm a communist. And he is. I'm not making it up. He very candid says, I'm a communist, and I believe in the communist model that should come into America here. Mm-hmm. So when you have people who are following the Alinsky philosophy and model, which you now have throughout the Democrat Party, you have people who are completely absorbed into not only Marxism, but there are no rules. Whatever is necessary for me to beat you guys, to beat Aaron and Bill on this radio, there is no rules. There is no politeness, courtesy, ethics. There's no right or wrong as far as I'm concerned. It's whatever I can do, because at the end of this debate, I'm going to own this radio station or whatever. You know, I'm going to run the radio station.
Well, you can lie, you can deceive, and if violence works, hey, let's get to it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's where the Antifa guys come in.
That great point. No, and so now you have subcultures of this with Antifa, like you said, Aaron, Black Lives Matter. Good night. Even MS-13, which is a totally different character. But now they've been included because you see, you got all these.
Well, these guys are all giving sympathy speeches about them. They're not animals. They're just people that are, like, incredibly evil and act like animals.
Yeah. Well, this is the same thing Europe's been dealing with for years and years. You look at Greece and Italy, I mean, they had a socialist party and they had the conservative party. And that's what's happening here. We're going to end up with a choice. And when people get tired of the conservative side, their other choice is going to be socialism.
And God help us if that ever...
Let me see how well that's worked out for them.
Well, but that's what it's marching to, Bill.
Yes.
And
yes.
President Trump last week, I think it was on Wednesday, don't write me if it turned out to be Thursday or Tuesday, but last week, you know, because people go, hey, it wasn't Wednesday, it was Wednesday.
Yeah, we don't even know where we were Wednesday. So Wednesday, sure.
He was, what he said to 100 evangelical leaders who were having dinner at the White House, he was thanking them and saying to them, look, guys, this midterm election is truly one of the most critical our nation's ever faced, because if we lose the Congress, we're losing it to socialist Democrats, Marxists, and they are absolutely intent in changing our form of government and our heritage and value system. And so we're really up against something here that has been percolating for a long time. You go back to the late 60s, the Democrat convention in Chicago, where students for the Democratic Society, which was a forerunner of the communist, what they have now, and Antifa and all the rest of that, they were battling the police. Anybody can go back on video and archives and look, and you'll see the big riots that were taking place right outside the Chicago Democrat National Convention. And Hubert Humphrey was inside trying to become the nominee, and McGovern was racing also, and all that. And outside you had all these young people who were promoting a socialist agenda. Now, they weren't that blunt about it, but it was there. Now come ahead to where we're at today, 50 years later. Am I close? 50, 55 years later?
Yeah.
And those kids who are 15, 18, add 50 years to that, they're 68, let's say, okay?
Yeah, these are people who should know better, but they've been steeped in this for a long time.
Absolutely. And now, you know, you've got Bernie Sanders, who's 70-some-odd years old. Well, that would have been in his era. You have others who have grown up and who are now leading political dialogue along the lines of the Alinsky model. So they've come of age, in one sense, if you will, and they are now pushing the envelope with the idea, the dedication, if you will, to get rid of our heritage, our values, our principles, morality, as we've been taught in this nation, to do away with anything that has to do with the Judeo-Christian heritage that our forefathers gave to us. Trash it. Trash all of that and accept a socialist model like Venezuela.
Because that's working so well. Hey, so on that note, speaking of the police.
Cuba, Honduras, anywhere. You look
sure.
Russia. But again, going back to what I was saying in the beginning here, when you have emotionalism on your side, more often than not, people are going to be moved by the emotional, the passion versus the logic. And that's one of the things Alinsky taught his followers, and that's part of the schooling that they've gone through over the last couple of years. And that book, the playbook that I released to y'all, that's part of what's taking place. They have now a very structured playbook that they're following to put Trump in a corner.
And you can, as you read the things, you can tell. I mean, you can see them. We've been watching this. They wrote this. I was just looking at the little footnote on it. The Washington Free Beacon got a hold of this January 19th through 21st, 2017. So it was right there at the beginning of his presidency.
Yes, ma'am.
Democracy Matters Florida Donor Retreat at Turnberry Island in Florida. So anyway, that is posted on our site. I can't, you have to be part of something else in order to download it, but you can open it and read it. So you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. We will be right back with Dr. Lyle Rapacki. And speaking of the police, here you go.
Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Every single day, and every word you say.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along that he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not, oh no. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined, when out of his sight, to be out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts, no more ifs or ands or buts.
Just getting the good part.
They say as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my crazy ideas, but I knew what was happening. I knew I was a genius. What's so strange?
Bernie Sanders theme song.
You know that you're a wizard at three. I knew that this was meant to be.
Yeah, there you go.
That was a genius.
That was the Bernie Sanders theme song. There you go, Lyle.
Or Miss Cortez.
All those people that are pushing these weird ideas, this is the song that they march to. It's kind of, they probably skip more because it was hard to march to that one. Probably more skipping, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, with flowers. Exactly.
So we're faced right now with a choice. And unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people recognize it, but we're faced with a choice of remaining a free republic or sliding into socialism, which will not work.
I don't think you get to slide there. I think it's kind of like a door slamming in your face.
Well, I think once you've reached that tipping point, but I think people are being lured into this, thinking it's going to be the, what do they call it, the perfect society where everybody is happy and everything is free and everybody has free education and a home and it's all paid for. It never works. It never works.
No, but that's part of the emotional model, Bill. I mean, if I could, I hope I do this well. I know, because those poor people in the Netherlands who are tuning in.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget the Ukrainians.
And you are our third choice for this perfect analysis.
Love it. No,
go see Ukrainians. Go see.
You know something, you guys? If you did a show about nothing, we would understand that. Oh man,
we would probably be totally on point.
Yeah.
somebody make us do a show.
If I came to the studio and I promised you free education, free health care, free housing, free cars, free gas, I just went down the list of stuff, and you could play golf all day or paddleboard or whatever. Unless you were a critical thinker and going, you know something, there is nothing free. And secondly, what is your motive by doing this? What are you attempting to accomplish? If you begin to ask those questions, which people are not because they've been dumbed down the last two generations in our higher education departments, you would accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And by accepting all this passion and emotionality of, I'm giving to you, I want you to have freedom and freedom and freedom and
more
freedom and free coffee.
Yeah,
it's true.
And there's so many people out there that are saying, you know, it's worth a shot. Let's give it a try.
That's it.
But you don't get
there
to give
go.
It a try.
And now, so I'm running for office, and I keep saying, you're right, Bill. May I call you Bill? Sure, Bill. We're all together in this, okay? And let's give it a try. I mean, look, we've tried it the other way, and the only people who've gotten rich are the rich. What? Well, anyway.
Yeah.
But Bill, come on, you and me together. We're going down to Starbucks and we're going to get it for free.
Yeah.
Because they owe us.
It's the non-thinking, you know, gobbledygook, but it's working.
I know that's the frightening part.
Well, it's working in part because we've dumbed down our educational system. And you know, you've got even a couple of these candidates running for Congress who are socialist Democrats. They say that. And yet they can't answer any questions really about the history of this nation. They can't really talk to you about the economy and how economies function. The one in Bronx, New York, the new face of the Democrat socialists, what's her name? Ortiz.
The girl with the scary eyes.
Yeah. She's a economics major, graduating, yet she can't even discuss the budget, economics, how funding is incurred, and how do you promote and pay for these new ideas that you've got. They can't even do that because they've all been so dumbed down. But they follow the Alinsky model and they follow the game plan that's been laid out for them. It's all about passion, emotionalism, and giving to people what they want to hear. So we called it, in my generation, lying, but we don't do that anymore. We don't say that because that's old school morality. So whatever I can get away with is what's acceptable in the Alinsky model. And that's what we're seeing today, and I'm telling you, it's really playing havoc. You go to the playbook, and I'm glad you posted it, Aaron, and I hope your readers.
Those are the
wrong show.
No, but we do have, you know, in fairness, we do have a lot of people who have time to read through the things on the page, which is why I post it. If you don't have time to listen, at least read the material.
Well, I was going to say, they don't want to listen to this jibber-jabber.
People need some good old-fashioned jibber-jabber. You know, there's no fun left in the world. Not the kind where you actually have to have a brain to get the jokes.
No.
My favorite kind of fun.
I like Seinfeld. The show about nothing.
Exactly.
I mean, just, you know.
It was made for us.
But I'm right there. I watch it.
I know.
But I'm glad you posted that, and I want to encourage people to please go on your site and please look at that 49-page playbook. It is an actual playbook that I was able to obtain right as it was being released to the adherents of the Social Democratic Party and all that. And so I was fortunate to get the actual copy, which I've sent to you, and I was able to send it selectively out to candidates and to certain selected people like GOP chairmen and things like that, that I knew were trying to fight the good fight, and they were losing.
And when we come, hey Lyle, when we come back, we're going to definitely get into that, because honestly, if you read this one thing, we're going to contest every effort at every level of government to limit rights, rescind protections, entrench inequality, redistribute wealth upwards, or in any other way fundamentally undermine the tenets of egalitarianism that must serve as the bedrock of our democracy. There's your intro to the playbook. We'll be right back with Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.